There it is. Come and have a seat, Ted. We're going to bless Ted as he comes to share the word this morning. And Father, we thank you for the gift Ted is to us. We thank you for his call that he heard from you, that he was faithful and obedient, and has spent his life serving you. So, Lord, as he comes this morning to share the word, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence within him and the word that you have blessed him with to share. Give us ears to hear what you have to say, that we may go from this place changed and excited about who you are, that you may be glorified in all that's said and done. And we ask this now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Testing, 1, 2, hello. Good morning, everybody. Last week, I think it was, Shannon began to talk about some of the characteristics of God. And I thought that tied in very well with what we might do here today. I'm also glad that this is the day we pray for Israel. Now, I've said this to some of you before, but you know what the word Israel means? It means one who wrestles with or struggles with God. So there's a sense in which while Israel is a place, Israel is also a set of beliefs. And each of us has been incorporated into the body of Israel when we become those people who wrestle and struggle with what it means to know who God is and how we relate to him, worship him, and operate as his people within the world we live. When we begin to learn our ABCs, we learn how to read. When we learn 1, 2, 3, we are learning how to count and do mathematics. So we begin with those in our education as learning how to be people operating in the world. But when we learn how to be God's people, we begin with the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God. I guess I have to turn this thing on or it won't work. Okay. When I began the process of looking at Mother's Day and the characteristics of God as a mother, I thought, where do I begin? And as I was looking through multiple passages within the scriptures, I thought, there's only one place to begin. And then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he created him, male and female. The image of God is not just male, as some people would like us to believe, but is male and female. It's a combination. So male and female created he them. And God blessed them. Now as I began to look through the scriptures, I began to see that while we here on earth talk about males and females, and we make a distinction between them, and some people would like to say that the males in this patriarchal society that we live in are more important and significant. That's not the way that scripture or faith looks at the relationship that takes place. And as I put together the whole process that I was looking at, I found that God sees males and females as a being together that forms an entity that brings about a wholeness, a completeness that cannot happen without the two. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. I remember talking at one point to a feminist theologian in one of the churches where I worked. And she talked about the fact that the scriptures were male-based, patriarchal in nature. And I said to her, the Bible tells us that for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. What kind of society is that describing? Now, fortunately, having a degree in anthropology and geography as well as theology, I was able to answer that question. But any of you have any idea what kind of society is being described at that point? Where does the man go? To his wife's family. It's a matriarchal society. You didn't think of the, in the beginning of the Bible, we have God describing the fact that it's with the wife's family that the society and the significance of the relationship takes place. Now this didn't take the whole thing, and of course I don't have notes. And the man and his wife were both. Yeah. So, in the Psalms, it talks about what happens in the process of beginning life. "For you were formed in my innerward parts, and you wove me in my mother's womb. And I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." I remember my grandfather saying to me, "Ted, there's only one thing a man can do that a woman can't. And there's only one thing a woman can do that a man can't." You know what they are? Pardon? Create children through the sperm and create and birth and bring to life children through the womb of the mother. Yeah. So that entity together brings about a complete whole. And without that, existence ceases. When we take a look at what God says to us in those rules and regulations that help us to have a life that has quality and meaning and significance to it in what we call the Ten Commandments, it says, "Honor your father and your mother in the day that your days may be long in the land that Jehovah your God giveth you. What would life be like if we had only men or only women? Boring. Well, what is it that the French say? Vive la difference. Love the difference. Enjoy the difference. Celebrate the difference. Because together, we make a whole completeness. Within the scriptures, I found that when I took a look at mother, constantly I found that father and mother were brought together. That God did not look at our world as being separate, but being a bringing together. We were not meant to live alone. I've heard people say, yeah, but the scriptures say the man is the head of the wife. And that is a scripture that Paul talks about. Anybody know what the rest of that verse says? And that's what, and they've said to me, see, the Bible tells us that the man has authority over his wife. He's the one that rules and says that everything that is to be done. But the rest of the verse says that the man is to love his wife as Jesus Christ loved the church and gave his life for her. So I'm to love my wife in such a way that I'm willing to give my life for her. Now, if that's authority over my wife, I like it. I'm to love her in such a way that I see her as the most precious, most significant, most beautiful relationship that I can have. And when I structure the relationship in that way, then we will have a relationship which is, what, a mutual admiration society? But more than that, it will be the kind of relationship that honors the way that God created us. That in his image, we are both male and female, sharing, caring, loving each other. Now, I just put this in a second time just to show you that we find it in Exodus, but we also find it in the New Testament, in Ephesians. Actually, there are five times it's found within the scriptures. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What is the promise? That we will have a longer, better quality of life. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long in the earth. Our society says today, what is a woman? And I've watched a few TV programs in the last while that people were being vetted for some position and were asked, can you define a woman? And the people would not define a woman. And I thought, what's wrong with this world? Does anybody here not know what a woman is? Well, the word woman can be used generally to mean any female human, or specifically to mean an adult female human. And from a scientific point of view, a person who has two X chromosomes, where the male has an XY chromosome. So even in that, we see that God in creation brought together the whole thing. Now, what does Jesus do when he looks at women? And there came to him his mother and brothers, and they could not come at him because the crowd was too large. And it was told him, your mother and brethren stand without desiring to see you. But he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brothers are these that hear the word of God and do it. Wow. So, if you are part of that community of faith where you hear the word of God and you try to do it, you are my brother or my sister. God sees family as being the thing that is significant. It was nice to have the Rood family here today, celebrating the fact that their mother, who had been injured, came through it well and good and is still here to smile upon each of us and share with us her sense of humor and her sense of life. And that is part of what we're all to be in the relationship that God sees us as mother and brother, sister, whatever. That we here are a family. And as a family, we take care of each other. Being wired is a different thing. So, tell me, when you take a look at your life, how many of the important things that happen are when you get together with friends and family and you eat together, you celebrate together, you worship together, you share the kind of thing that says, we are more than one. We are a total entity. As Jacob said when he became Israel, we all become Israel. Those who wrestle, who struggle. And is life not a struggle? Does it have its ups and downs? It does. But together, it's easier than it is when you're separate and alone. You know? I'm unhappy. I'm so sad. Nobody loves me. I'm going to the garden to eat worms. Well, as Wigglesworth, that makes sense. But what is it like when we feel that loneliness in life? And what is it like when we know the connectedness that takes place? Because we fulfill the realness of what God has when he says, I created them male and female to be together, to share with each other, to be a family. Within the book of Proverbs is one of the most beautiful descriptions of a worthy woman or an excellent wife, depending on how you want to categorize it. An excellent wife. Who can find one? She is worth, her worth is far above jewels. In other words, to find a good wife, a good person to share your life with, is more important, more precious than gold and silver. More precious than the house you own. More precious than that beautiful car you may like. Because in that relationship comes the quality of life. The heart of her husband trusts her because he knows her word is good. And because of that, he will have no lack of gain within his life. She does him good and not evil. Now, within all relationships, there are both good times and bad times. There are times when we love our husband or wife or the person we think, and there are times when we wish we could have some solitude away from them, maybe for a little while. But for the most part, we know that we do good for each other, not evil. And when we look for the good, then the relationship becomes good. And we do that for each other all of our lives. Whoops. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. Now, in our society, we have far more, but wool was a normal product. In Israel, they raised sheep. They grew flax. Those were the main things that they had to provide clothing, bedding, all the rest of the things. And the wife kept the house stable by the fact that she used the products that were there for her. And she delighted in the work of her hands. She was like a merchant ship that brings food from afar. She rises up early while it is still light and looks after the needs of her family. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Now, it's interesting because I've had some people say to me, oh, at this time and place, it was a male patriarchic society, and women didn't own property. But archaeology has told us something different. Within the last 15 years, we've found what were called the Babitha Letters. Anybody know where Ein Gedi is? Ein Gedi. It's on the west side of the Dead Sea. And near Ein Gedi, there are a series of caves. And the series of caves were where people who were rebelling against the Roman Empire hid from the Romans during what was called the Bar Kokhba Rebellion. And in those caves was found in the back of it a niche that had been covered with some stones. And in that niche was found a leather pouch. And in the leather pouch, there were the letters and manuscripts that had been kept by a woman. She was married at about the age of 15. By the age of 20, she had a son and had been divorced and married a second time. Because they were in a period of time of war and rebellion, her first husband was probably killed. Amongst the letters was one letter to Bar Kokhba. The rebellion was named after him. And it was because of him that the Roman legions came in and destroyed Jerusalem. So that not one stone was left on a stone, the scriptures tell us. Now this letter says that when she first got married, she inherited from her father an orchard, a date orchard. In the area of Angeti, there are several date orchards. It's very salty land. But dates will grow where nothing else will. In her first marriage, she inherited a second date orchard. So she was a relatively wealthy woman in that day, and she owned property. And the property went with her when her husband died. Now, we don't know what happened to her, but close to the caves where these people lived was a mortuary cave where we found the bodies of 40 women and children. And her child and her might have been one of those bodies because of the rebellion. But in those letters, we find what this passage tells us in the Proverbs was true. That she considered a field and buys it. And from her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strength. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp goes not out at night. It's talking about the qualities of a woman of that day and age. And life was a lot rougher then than it is now. There was no running water. There was a lot of things that we didn't have. Okay. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hand to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow, for her household, all her household, are clothed. Now they say in scarlet, and that was a sign of wealth. She made coverings for herself. Clothing is fine linen and purple. Linen, once again, remember, was one of those products from the agriculture of the society they lived in. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. What's that a reference to? Well, we have our courts here in our land, you know. You have traffic courts and that type of thing. In the gate of the city, the elders would sit, and people would come to them with their disputes. And if you were in the gate sitting there, I'd have my, well, I want to divorce my wife, or this man owes me some money, and I'd ask you, and you with two other people will talk about what we, and you bring a solution. That's what sitting in the gates meant. You brought a solution to the problems that the normal people were having within their society. We don't have any of those today, do we? And unfortunately, we tend to judge with one person nowadays, not three coming to an opinion that might help everybody. She makes linen garments, sells them, supplies belts that would be from the sheep and the leather that was there. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And she smiles at the future. Can you smile at the future? Are you okay? I remember this morning you talked about the peace you had in the midst of the disaster that was taking place and you're falling down the stairs. Can you have something awful happened to you, and yet you can smile? You can say, Lord, I'm still breathing. That's a good thing. I'm in pain, but I'm alive. I have the ability to recover because how I'm built in your image. She opens her mouth in wisdom and teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But the woman who worships the Lord shall be praised. That's what a good quality wife, according to the scriptures, looks like. And her husband does what? He trusts her. He praises her. He honors her. And she becomes a better woman because of it. And what's the saying we often say? Behind every good man in our society is an even better woman. When we look at the life of Jesus himself, we remember when he was found in the temple. His mother and father had gone there, and he was found sitting amongst the scribes and the Pharisees, and they wondered at the things that he answered in the questions that they talked about. And they left not knowing what had happened to him, thinking he was among some of their relatives, because a lot of families traveled together in that day and age. It was not safe to travel alone. So they travel together. And they get a day's journey out of town and they say, where's Jesus? And they go back and they find him in a temple. And they say, how come you did this to us? He said, did you not know that I must be here learning, doing my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke to them. And when he went down with them and came to Nazareth, he was subject to them. So even Jesus, God in human form, subjugates himself to the authority of his mother and father. If we really want to find out how to live well, often it's important to listen to those who are older than us, even though we may think we know better. As an infant or a child or a young person, I never did that, of course. Now, if you believe that, I have a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you. But there are lessons to learn in being part of the family, in being incorporated together. Now, Jesus allowed himself to learn from his mother and dad. And the interesting thing is Mary, as his mother, looked at Jesus, looked at the way he operated, and she kept all those things in her heart. And then we're told that Jesus advanced in wisdom and stature and in favor with both God and man. That if you want to have a quality relationship with the whole of life, You need to remember we have two ears, two eyes, and only one mouth. Jesus comes to Jerusalem, and he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent to her, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and you would not." That one of the qualities of God is he wants to gather us together. He wants to be in that position where he can demonstrate how he sees the value and worth and quality of each one of us. And he wants us to see that quality in each other. Mother Teresa of Calcutta at one point said, "What keeps me working amongst the poorest of the poor, the people who have nothing and are about to die, is that as I look into the eyes of each one of them, I see my Savior, Jesus Christ." How do we look at each other? Do we understand how God wants to gather us together? Not for evil, but for good. To lift us up so that in turn we can lift each other up. Are we doing that with the people that we see each and every day? Do we see that God's creation of us in his image is to be the kind of person who looks at that other person not as somebody who's lower, higher, whatever, but as another creation of God, as our brother, our sister? When Jesus was being crucified, in the agony of the worst form of death and pain and suffering that is possible for any human being to go through, he looks down from the cross. And there, standing by the cross of Jesus, his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple John standing by her, he says to her, "Woman, John here will be your son." And he said to the disciple, "John, behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Even at the point of death, Jesus recognized the significance, the importance of the mother that raised him and cared for him. And while there were brothers and sisters that we know of, James, for instance, became the leader of the Jerusalem church afterwards. At that point, we don't know what their belief system was, except we think it wasn't. And it was only after the resurrection that they came to fully understand who this man, this person really was. But Jesus, even at that point saw the significance of having his mother cared for. And he said to John, and John never tells us who he is in his gospel. He says he's the one whom Jesus loved. But we know from other things that that's who it was. And he wants to make sure that the concept of having your mother looked after is one of the most significant things that you can do within your life. How do our world respect my wife, the mother of my kids? My mother who raised me, your mother who raised you. How do we do what is necessary to see that they're looked after? One of the characteristics of God, creating us as male and female to be in relationship and to complete the whole. As the one whom his mother comforteth, so God says, will I comfort you. Can you imagine anything more significant than a God who wants to comfort us in the best way that any mother could? This is a special day for us to celebrate mothers. We've got some flowers that we want to give to every woman who is here today.
And also, the children need to bring up what they've made.
As we go from this place, I want you to remember that we're created in the image of God, male and female. We're created to be the family of God. We're created to be those who wrestle each day with trying to understand what it means to be God's people, celebrating him in the world where we live. And now I ask God to send his blessing upon each and every person here today, especially upon all of the women who bring a fullness and completeness to our lives. And now may the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest on each one of you and blossom through you as you live your lives day by day. Amen.